We are all going through an identity crisis. How many of you have read the book, The Bourne Identity? Anybody has read it? Movie, yes. Movie was okay, but the book is amazing. Even though it's a spy thriller, but the author's knowledge of psychology is unbelievable. Very nice, very well written book. Read it a long time ago. It still has a lot of impact on me. So the hero on this book is a spy, U.S., and he gets injured in some kind of an accident, and he forgets who he is. And he's one of the top level, very well trained. So he doesn't know who he is, where is he, or what he is supposed to do. But when danger comes or situation comes, he subconsciously reacts as if he was. And he says, where did I get these skills of, you know, all that? And so slowly he's through the novel, how when he meets situations slowly this memory comes back to him. So you and I also are in this memory crisis, not because of an injury, but because of ignorance. Because for many, many lifetimes, you and I, we have thought, I am this body. We were plants first, and then we became a protozoa, and the protozoa is looking for food, and then it becomes a fish and a bird and animal and a monkey and human and all that. And so for thousands or billions of years, we have this firm understanding. But our gurus, our scriptures tell us that you have misunderstood your true identity. You are not this body. You are that infinite self. And this body is a vehicle. And this idea is hammered again and again in all our Upanishads, again and again in the Bhagavad Gita, in all our scriptures, because sorrows will not end unless you have this knowledge. No matter how comfortable your life is, how much money you have, how young and healthy you are, sooner or later there will be sorrows. There will be physical sorrows at the body level as we get older, emotional stress that can affect anybody at any time, any age. And then, of course, intellectual sorrows of ignorance. And this all starts with intellect. Because I do not have this right knowledge, and I'm so conditioned, so trained to think, it does not mean that you don't take care of the body or you don't nourish the body, but the body is my vehicle, is my instrument, just as a car is my vehicle to drive. All of us came here by car, but you didn't bring the car inside. You left the car outside. If you were thinking, I am the car, then you would keep sitting in the car, not go anywhere. No, you leave the car when the work is done. You come here and then you pick up your car again. So similarly, this body is my vehicle to function in the world, to deal with the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, my body, mind, and intellect. And when the body is hurt, you take care of it, just as when the car is broken down, you take it to the mechanic and get it fixed. But the Atma, the self, the consciousness, the Om, that is my true nature, that is my correct identity, is seen by us as somebody, something different. Okay, there is this Atma, this Brahman, this total consciousness. And the scriptures tell us there's not multiple Atmas, not her Atma and his, but and mine, but we are all one Atma, one consciousness. You can call it Atma, you can call it Brahman, you can call it the total consciousness, total reality. Bible calls it Father in heaven, Muslims call it Allah, but it is that one totality which appears to be divided among different one of us, just as there is one space, but appears to be divided. There is one space, but in the room, there is a room space, and then there is a space in the cup, and then there is a cupboard, there is space in the cupboard. So there are different, apparently different spaces, but in reality, when the cupboard is removed, when the walls are taken down, then actually there is only one space. So each and every one of us is that one, and that knowledge is very essential, A, to remove ignorance, and B, to promote harmony. Problems in the world always occur because I and somebody else, you know, this is me and this is mine, this is you and yours. Even in this Ram Gita, the first verse, when Lakshman ji asks Ramchandra ji, Bhagwan, can you give me the right knowledge? And he says, "Main mor tai tor." That is Maya, because he asks him, what is Maya? What is Maya? This and me and mine and you and yours. And that's where all the problems of the world start, whether it's me and my house, me and my family, me and my wife, me and my religion, me and my culture, me and my country, me and you and yours. You know, it's mine and this is mine and that is my wife's. This is mine and this is my neighbor's. This is mine and, you know, all that. So the problems all arise from lack of identity. And Arjuna is also confused because he says, I am doing this and there will be wholesale destruction and so many people will perish. And the Bhagavan starts at the highest level and says, look, none of you will perish because we are all that one Atma, the one consciousness. Yes, the bodies will perish. Anta vanta ime dehaha nityas yokta sharirinana. Yes, the bodies will perish, but the Atma will not perish. So you have to know that you are Arjuna, this Atma, this consciousness. And then he's now the few verses, he's going to tell us the characteristics of Atma. Atma means the Lord, the consciousness, the totality. What are the characteristics of that, which have been covered exhaustively in the Upanishads also. We are doing Kevalya Upanishad in our Wednesday class, and he says, Achintyam avyaktam anantarupam shivam prashantam amritam brahmayonim tadadi madhyant vihinam ekam vibhum chidanandam arupam adbutam. So he says this consciousness is avyaktam. It is unmanifest. It is achintyam, cannot be thought of. It is all pervading. It is all peaceful. It is without beginning, middle and end. So all these qualities are described in the various scriptures. So Bhagavan has given us a few qualities in the earlier verse. Anashino aprameyasya tasmad yudhyasva bharata. So he says you are anashina, you are indestructible. It means I am indestructible. That we have to understand. And this consciousness neither does anything nor causes anything to be done. He says, what? You mean Bhagavan doesn't do anything? No, the Lord does not do anything. The Lord gives us the energy with which we can function. And last week we had studied, na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyah ajo nitya shashvato yam puranah nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So he says this consciousness, this Brahman that is you, is never born and will never die. It is one without second, and it is ever existing, and it is unborn. It is unborn, it is eternal, and it is most ancient. It was there even before the universe was created, and the body may destroy, but the Atman, my true nature, will not perish. And we have to learn that. That is very, very important, and one has to constantly practice that, that there is this body, but I am the witness of this body. There is this mind, and that's the mind, but I am the witness of this mind. Today morning, I was driving from San Francisco. I left early in the morning, so to be here in time for the class. And the first hour or hour and a half, that's all I was doing, practicing. Okay, I am watching who is driving. And so it was like there was somebody watching my body, my mind. And with practice, you can do that and start doing that. And it is so peaceful. My mind was so calm when I was able to do that for an hour or so. And then slowly as you start thinking about the world, and I was thinking about my class, and then my son had sent me something where he had, on a podcast where he was featured. So I was started listening. So then your mind goes into the world, but the more you can stay in that, the more you feel peaceful. So that is the idea. This knowledge is not just for Arjuna but it is for me to apply in my daily life. It's not something to apply after retirement or after death or sometime in the future. Now, today itself, I can start utilizing. That is the benefit of the Bhagavad Gita. That's why the Bhagavad Gita is a very practical text. The Upanishads give the same knowledge, but in a very obscure or an obtuse manner. But the Bhagavad Gita is spoken to an individual like you and me. Arjuna was an ordinary, he was a great warrior, but within his thinking, he was very much like us. He was a man of the world and he was thinking. So that's why this knowledge is very useful. So now we'll continue these qualities of Atma. The next few, 2 or 3 verses, 4 verses maybe, will be dealing with the Atma, the consciousness. And then, as I said last time, then Bhagavan will come down to our level. He says, look, I don't understand all this. Talk to me at my level. And so he will address us at our level also. But he wants us to, at the back of the mind, know what is the truth. This is a very, very beautiful verse, verse number 22, which is quoted many times. Many people who are giving spiritual discourses talk about this particular verse. I have also quoted it here in previous talks. So today we'll go into the details. So verse number 22. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Navani grihnati naro parani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani. Anyani samyati navani dehi. So here Bhagavan is telling us what is death and what is reincarnation, what is rebirth. Because each individual, we believe that we have had multiple lifetimes before us, which again will be taken in more detail in the fourth chapter. He says, Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihai. Vasamsi means clothes, old. Jirnani means old clothes. Yatha, yatha means just as. So in the Bhagavad Gita, this method of teaching is used many times. Yatha and tatha, just as it happens, so. Or yada and tada, when and then, yatra and tatra, here, where and there. So this method of teaching is used many times in the Bhagavad Gita. So yatha vihaya, just as giving up old clothes, yatha vihaya, giving up old clothes, navani grihnati naro aparani. So nara means the individual, man or woman. Navani grihnati, new clothes. Other new clothes an individual picks up. Like for us, if my particular outfit has gotten old or it is, you know, not, doesn't fit me very well, I've either gained weight or lost weight. Or in some cases, even it is out of fashion. You know, the outfit is brand new. I've only worn it a couple of times, but especially in India, you know, the fashion is, this is not in fashion. Immediately people will stop wearing it. And here also, you know, this is old fashion. This is old school. Like the bell bottoms one time were fashion, then it became narrow, you know, then it keeps changing. Similarly, just as a person gives up old clothes and goes and buys new clothes. And is there any sorrow in giving up old clothes? No. I got a new outfit and then we put it on and show everybody. And if somebody doesn't compliment me on my new outfit, I get very hurt. Or my new hair, I had a haircut, and if my husband doesn't acknowledge it, forget it, no dinner for him for 2 days. Right? So just as a person gives up old clothes and buys new clothes and cheerfully puts them on without complaining, tatha, in the same way, sharirani vihai jirnani. Sharirani jirnani, old body gives up. Old bodies, who gives up? Anyani samyati navani dehi. Dehi means the indweller in the body. Deha is the body. And why do they call deha? Dahati iti deha. That which burns is called deha, because all of our fate is ultimately to get burnt. Or in the West, of course, they bury it. But the idea is that which is going to get burnt is called deha. So that you have, when you say, I am this body, remember, I am going to get burnt. So then you automatically, your identification with the body will become less, because this is something that's to be burned. You know, it's not going to be with me forever. So that dehi, the deha is the body. Dehi is one who occupies the body, the indweller of the body. Sharirani vihai jirnani anyani samyati navani. So other new bodies the individual collects. Having given up the old body, the individual collects new body. So giving up an old body and taking a new one is like giving up old clothes and taking new clothes. People say, no, no, come on, I can't be that simple. When I give up my body, you know, I have to give up my family and my money, my bank balance that I accumulated with so much effort, my house I built with so much love, my car, my dog, my cat, my pet rock. You know, there was a time when people used to love rocks, my pet. How am I to give? And you're saying that is like changing clothes? It's not. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how much you love your spouse or your children or your house or your car or your dog or your cat, one of the days you have to give it up. Can you hold it forever? No. Nobody can, and not only you cannot hold it forever, you cannot take it with you. Whether it's my money, my house, I can't take anybody, anything with me. And we spend our whole life just accumulating, possessing, acquiring. Not that there is anything wrong in having, you know, retirement, a nice house and all, but that's not my main goal. That should not be my main purpose. Only thing that goes with us are our karmas. Our karmas go with us and our spiritual knowledge. Whatever knowledge we have acquired in this lifetime, if you have read the Gita or the Bible or the Quran and studied and not only just superficially read, but made it part of my thinking, that is the only thing that goes with us, and my karmas. So we'll just talk briefly about this point about who goes and who does not go. So this shloka can be used from two examples. One is the Atma, the consciousness, which at this moment, this Om is reflected in the mind and intellect and energizes the body. So this Om, this consciousness, which is identified with the Atma, identified with this body at this time. You can close the door fully, please. When it's identified with this body completely, then after the death of this body, Om, the consciousness, takes up another body. Identifies with another body. And that is one way of looking at it, that this there is one consciousness who at this moment is reflected in me, in my mind and intellect, and as knowledge. And because of that consciousness, my body is able to speak, able to walk, talk, think, hear and all. Another way of looking at this is that who goes? Some people talk at the lower level. One is the Atma, one is the level of the Jiva. The mind, intellect and vasanas, the individuality. Because the body, we are all made of five elements, air, space, fire, water, earth, and all are the same. Yes, there are subtle differences, male and female, young and old, skin color, face and all, but essential nature of all is five elements. And the Om or the consciousness is also the same in every one of us. But what is the me, the individual, is this am I and vasanas. My mind is my emotions, my thoughts and my desires. So my emotions, my thoughts and my desires are different from your emotions, your thoughts and your desires. So our scriptures tell us that when the body is no longer able to sustain, then the jiva, the individual, leaves this body, this mind and intellect, this subtle body, does not get destroyed. The body perishes, but my emotions, my thoughts, and my ideas, and my desires, these vasanas, these three, go on. They go on and take another body. But what happens is that at the time of death, the body is dropped. And we have the five pranas, but one is called udana, the fifth one, and that forcefully pushes out my jiva. So there is actually a forceful expulsion of this jiva. Just as when I sneeze, there's a forceful expulsion of, you know, of the water in my nose. So the jiva is forcefully pushed out. So the body exerts a lot of force to get rid of this jiva. And then the body perishes. And this jiva having taken off, and what does that do? Then it goes to higher or lower worlds. Depending on my karmas, I may go to a good world like heaven. Or if I've done bad, I may go to hell or the lower. There are six lower worlds and seven. And after spending a certain amount of time there, based on my karmas, and who keeps track of this? So they say, well, there is a Chitragupta in heaven, you know, our scripture said, and he has this big ledger. So how big the ledger has to be? 7 billion, you know, people. And then not only humans, but also animals, karmas, fish. When will animal evolve to a monkey, and then when will a monkey evolve to human? Can not be such a big ledger. Some people say there is a giant computer, much, much bigger than Microsoft and Windows all put together. No, Bhagwan is very smart. He has outsourced it. Just as we outsource our data to India, he has outsourced to each one of us. He says each one of you has a microchip. So he has put a little microchip in every one of us, which resides in this mind, intellect, and vasana. He says, I don't have to worry. You have the chip which records your own karmas. So constantly, as you're doing karmas, it is being recorded inside you. There is nobody sitting somewhere keeping track of our karmas. So if I have hurt somebody, that is recorded. If I have helped somebody, it is recorded. And then there is the law of karma. So whoever I have hurt, I have to pay back. Whoever I have helped, I will get the benefit. If I've stolen from somebody, I either pay it back in this life or in a future life. And then all the results, good results and bad results, are in that chip itself. So he does not need to sit and keep track of each. He says, you keep track of your own karmas and you suffer or enjoy the consequences. So this individuality goes to the heaven or hell, and then waits for a suitable body to become available. And what kind of body where I can fulfill my vasanas? Suppose I have a desire for music, that vasana will be fulfilled. I have a very strong desire. I couldn't sing in this lifetime, then next lifetime I'll be born in a house where my musical talent will be encouraged. If I was very poor and I couldn't have money, I money, 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 I struggled my whole life, next life you will be born in a house with wealth. Or if I, anything, if I couldn't do something, if somebody is a woman and she, I want to be a man, it is so, Okay, and then Bhagwan says, you want to be a man? Okay, next life, be a man. And a man says, woman's life is so easy, so comfortable. You can become a woman. So whatever, but if your karmas are bad, then it could happen that next life you could become a dog or a mosquito or like these trees. They have been staying for thousands of years. I know so many years. This is an interesting incident happened. Some of these trees. So my friend was visiting from Iceland, and I was showing him Yosemite and Sequoia. I just took a few days off, and we went together. And we went to Sequoia, and there is this General Sherman, which is 2,500 years old, 2,500 years. And the trees are like yogis because they stay in one place and they do so much for us. They give us fruit, they give us shade, they take the carbon dioxide from the air and release oxygen, they constantly purify. So look at this soul, 2,500 years it has been serving us. My friend and I were so overwhelmed, we actually got down on our knees and bowed to that tree because. What a service it has performed ever since Christ. Before Christ, it was there. It's been through all the world wars and all the crusades and everything that it has seen, right from the Iron Age to the Atomic Age, and it is still there. So you might say, well, maybe this jiva is being punished. No, it's not, because the tree does not have any intellect. The tree only knows how to serve. So the point is that whatever my karmas are, those are the kind of life I will get. So this particular verse says that old clothes as we give up. So similarly, an old body to give up should not be sorrow, right? If I have to give up an old body which is wrinkled and the back hurts and my knee hurts and I can't see, I can't hear, I put on a hearing aid and then everybody says they speak loudly because I can't hear, everybody's irritated with me, all those things. Why? What is better to give up this body and get a brand new baby, a brand new sweet little child? How wonderful it would be. People say, no, even if I'm 90, even if I'm 95, do my bypass and give me transplant and give me dial. I do not want. So much attached we are. Just give it up. Bhagwan says, so he says, okay, chalo, I understand. How about somebody young dying? Somebody who is 16 dies, or somebody who is 25. His body is not old. He has a young, healthy body. So that is also the same. Bhagwan says it is the same. So Gurudev in his commentary gives the example. He says, like, there's a rich man. Now, he says, I don't keep a car more than 3 years. Every 3 years I have to change it. A lot of people lease the cars. You know, after 3 years they go get a brand new car. Or he says, my house. Some people change their house after every 3 years. This is an old house. Some people buy a new phone every year. Now, the phone is still working fine. No, I want the i8. Now the i10 has come every... So the phone is working fine, but for me it is no good. Or for me that car is old now. For me that house... And the same car, he sells it after 2-3 years. For him it is old, and there is somebody, a college student. And he tells his mom and dad, mom, I found the car, only 3 years old, only has 25,000 miles. It's like brand new. And his mom says, yeah, go and buy it. She writes him a check. For him, aha, it's a beautiful brand new car. And then he'll drive it and he'll, you know, take his girlfriend around. And for him, for that rich man, it's over. I don't need it anymore. So similarly, when you and I, maybe when the person dies young, it is because for that particular lifetime, the individual does not need the body anymore. This mind and intellect no longer needs this body. Why? Because each one of us has taken birth to fulfill certain amount of karmas. And we'll talk about karmas at the end of, towards the end of this talk. But the karmas that I was supposed to fulfill in this lifetime have ended. And particular vasanas that I was supposed to indulge in this lifetime has ended. And once that ends, then the jiva leaves. It's not, no longer it is my husband, my wife, my child, my parents. My time has come, and the individual just takes off. And you and I who are living are so sad. Why did God have to take him? He was so young. He had not even lived his life. No, he has lived his life. And it's not God who decides. For this particular lifetime, whatever karmas I was supposed to get the results of, good or bad, have ended, and so I leave. So just as a rich man gives up his car in 3 years or gives up his house in 3 years, so an individual gives up his body. It could be 3 years, it could be 30 years, could it be 3 months, sometimes even 3 hours. You know, sometimes a baby is born and within a few hours the baby perishes. That was the destiny for that child, for that life. Not that you don't feel sad when somebody, but inside you know, okay, this individual's time had come. Maybe it was only destined to, in 6 hours, to undergo whatever karmas for this life. And the jiva is gone now, will take another body. So what happens is death needs to be understood. Death is not something to cry about or be miserable about. Does not mean, again, and like I said even before, somebody's, you know, mother dies or somebody's, you don't go and tell them, you know, vasamsi jirnani yatha vihar. You don't give him that lecture, but inside you know. And if that person has studied Vedanta, then he or she will also know. Or you can remind them, look, you know, after you have expressed your condolences, the fact is, he says, yeah, I know, Krishna has said that in the Gita. And so this knowledge at least makes you strong about yourself. It makes you more sympathetic for the other person who does not know this. But for myself, it gives me courage. It gives me strength that, yes, in life there will be problems, but I am not this body. The problems belong to the body, to the mind, that's the stress, intellect, the ignorance, but I am none of those. And so this gives us a lot of strength to deal with the world. And what are those three? That's why they say it is hardware and software. In computer language, the body is the hardware and the mind and intellect is the software. So just as in a computer, the software is the one that runs the program, and then there is a programmer. So the programmer is the vasanas. The vasanas program our mind and intellect, and it needs a consciousness who is the ultimate programmer. And so similarly, just as a programmer programs the software to act, so our vasanas program us to act. But the program can be changed. You know, a person who knows computers can change the program. So you and I can also change our program. We don't have to say, my vasanas are like this, I've always been angry person. If you have always been angry person, so what? Who made you angry? Did somebody else? No, I made myself. If I could make myself angry, I can make myself loving. The vasanas I have built up, nobody else has fed these vasanas to me. Maybe it came from previous birth, But if I created my vasanas, I can undo them. You cannot say, oh, I always get very stressed out. I'm a very hyper individual. I'm a very nervous individual. I'm a very easily disturbed individual. Yes, these are all our own conditionings. I have put it in my head, or maybe in my childhood. You know, I'm a very sensitive person. Somebody says something, I get easily hurt. Whatever my conditionings are, I can change it. So we can change our heart hardware. And as we said, the Atma is eternal. Nothing happens. It's the Jiva that goes. But this particular verse talks about Atma, does not really refer to the Jiva. The Jiva will be addressed after about 4 or 5 verses as to who comes and who goes. And Bhagavan says, if you think you are the Jiva who comes and goes, I have an answer for you. But this particular verse refers to Atma or consciousness or Brahman, because the previous few verses were talking about Atma. Suddenly Bhagavan cannot start talking about Jiva, and then again the next 2 verses go back to Atma. It will be out of context. So here what he's talking about is the eternal consciousness, which comes, which never comes and goes, is always there. Just the reflection no longer exists. Such a person cannot, like the example they gave is the sun. The sun is like the Atma. Now there is a mirror in outside the window, and the window is how the room is completely dark. But when the sun shines on the mirror, then the mirror can reflect the light and illumine the room, and the room gets illumined. Suppose there's no power and it's, you know, very dark. But suddenly the sun comes out from the clouds, the light shines on the mirror, it illumines the room. So this consciousness or Om is like the sun, the mind and intellect is like the mirror, and the body is like the room. So the sun, but suppose the sun goes behind the cloud and is no longer reflecting on the mind and on the mirror, then there won't be any light in the room. So similarly, when this consciousness is no longer reflected in this mind and intellect, then the body perishes. So that is the essence of this. And dharma and karmas apply to the body, do not apply to the individual, to the consciousness. So my dharma, what is my duty? That applies to the jiva, to me, the individual, not to the consciousness. The consciousness has no dharma. That's why in Kathopanishad he says, yatra dharmat, yatra anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. So it is beyond dharma and adharma. So this consciousness has no dharma or no adharma, no duties. I and you, we have our duties. And based on our duties are the results of our karmas. If I perform my duty well, if I do what I am required to do, then I will get the good results. If I don't do what I am supposed to do, or if I do what I prohibited, then I will suffer the consequences. And each one of us gets results based on our karmas. And whatever good or bad is happening because of our karmas. Now think, suppose I didn't do something and I got a result, good result. I didn't do anything. Isn't that wrong? Or if I did something good and I didn't get the result, that is wrong too. Like they say, some religions say God in his infinite wisdom grants, you know, somebody this and give somebody that, and in his infinite wisdom he decided to take your son away. Now if God were to decide in his wisdom to take somebody's child away and leave somebody else's child and give somebody's child, make him an Einstein and make somebody with Down syndrome, make somebody born in Rockefeller's house and make another person born in Africa in a hut, then this God is unjust, you know, because he said, how is I and he did the same karmas, I am being born in Africa in a hut, and that guy, who is this God? Why is he playing favorites? It's like in your house, suppose you have 2 children, and one child is very good and very does his homework and cleans, he keeps his room clean and helps you in the kitchen and all that, and the other one keeps his room dirty, never listens, is very arrogant, throws things. Now, who is the one you are going to, get? Suppose there is a reward. You say, okay, if you keep your room clean for the next week, I will take you to Disneyland or I will do this. And one child does very well, keeps his room clean and does wonderful job and listens and helps in the kitchen and helps you with the dishes. Other ones say, forget it, I'm not going to do anything. Whole week he doesn't listen, throws. Now, whom will you take to Disneyland? Suppose you take that one who was not listening, doing all the wrong things. You say, I'm going to take you because you are younger, you are my favorite. And the poor kid who did all the good things, you leave him home. Whose dosha is it? It is the parents' dosha, right? Once you have made a certain rule that for the next week you have to do that, then you have to follow it, that the good child has to get the reward and the other child will not get it. And you have to explain it. Look, I told you a week ago, you didn't. So, same way in the classroom, in the students, one child studies very hard, another one doesn't study. Now, who will get the first grade? Who will be the get the A and who will get the D? Obviously, if the teacher is fair, she will give A to the child who has studied and D to the child who has not. If she doesn't, then it is her dosha, then it is her fault. There is something wrong. So similarly, if Bhagwan does that, plays favorites, gives somebody a result for what they had not worked, and somebody else who had done a great job and does not give him the result or punishes him, then we will say that is a dosha of Bhagwan. The God is, that's his fault, that is his mistake. So just as a mother won't do it, a child will not do it, I mean, a teacher will not do it. So similarly, God is very just, very compassionate, very kind, gives us the results based on our karmas. So whatever is happening, it is a little microchip in me that is recording everything. And they say the change comes gradual. All of a sudden, the first time I have heard this thing, a lot of us maybe have heard it for the first time, it's okay. It will not register right away, but it should come in the back of the mind because it is a gradual process. As I said, thousands of lifetimes, 84 lakh, 8.4 million lives we have gone through before we became a human. So it will happen gradually. It's not going to happen suddenly. Don't expect that from tomorrow suddenly I'll be realized and there will be a light shining and there'll be a halo and then I'll be walking on water. No, it will happen gradually. Talking about it should happen gradually. So there was this man who was on a trip. He was going to be gone for a few weeks and he was going to be in the wilderness with some lumber company. There's no cell phone access. So he told his younger brother, I'll call you once a week to check on how things are going. So a week later, he calls his brother and he says, ask her how's things and all. Then he says, how's my cat? And the brother said, your cat died. So he was shocked. He said, that's not the way. That's so rude. That's so abrupt. Why did you tell me that cat was so dear to me? She had been living with me for 12 years. I loved her. I fed her. You said she died just like that. That's not the way. Brother said, but she died. He said, no, but don't say that. You should have told me very gradually. Gradual. She said, what do you mean gradually? He said, well, you could have told that the, cat went up on the roof and she's old now. She couldn't get down. She was very scared. So you took a ladder, a tall ladder, and you climbed up to the roof. And as you were going, she was so scared, she jumped off the roof. And because she was old, she fell down, hit her neck, broke it, and died. So you could have gradually told me that. Why did you suddenly shock me? He said, okay, I understand, I understand. So a week later, again, he calls and he says, how are things? And he says, how is mom? He says, mom is up on the roof. So gradually he's done. So this knowledge will be gradual. The transformation will be gradual. I mean, as I have said, we have been listening to this personally myself since 1990. And I don't know if yet I have changed or not. I'm trying, because it is a gradual process. So now very briefly, I'll talk about the karma theory because that's very important. And then, I don't know, might be the whole verse might be gone, just the whole hour, but we talk about the karma theory, which is very important. So there are three kinds of karmas, Sanchit, Prarabdha, and Agami, which is a technical words, but I'll just explain it about the karma theory. How does the karma theory work? So it says Sanchit means accumulated. So each one of us has accumulated karmas over many lifetimes. Many lifetimes I have collected this. It's like a bank where I keep accumulating my karmas. And then in this life, I add to that karmas. Whether it's by my good or bad actions, I add. But Sanchit is what I have in the past. We don't talk about this lifetime. What I have accumulated in the past, that is Sanchit. Now, what is Prarabdha? Prarabdha is what karmas have fructified or matured to manifest in this lifetime. Like if there's a fruit tree and there are 50 fruits, you know, guavas, which one will I eat? The one that is mature, that is ripe. The one that is green and the one that is very hard, I won't. So different fruits mature at different times in the same tree. So similarly, my karmas will mature at different times. For example, if I put my hand in the fire, now will the fire say, no, son, I'm going to burn you tomorrow or next week or next? No, instantly my hand gets burned. But if I have grown a mango tree, that will mature in 10 years. If I have put some vegetables, that in a few months, or some fruits, or some flowers, within a few months they give fruit, they give the result. So different karmas give result at different times. So certain amount of karmas that I have accumulated in my past bank, in this lifetime they mature and they are called prarabdha. And that is what I have to undergo in this lifetime, my good and my bad. So if somebody says, uski kismat achhi hai, kismat kharab hai, he has a good destiny or a bad destiny, it's nothing but my prarabdha karmas maturing, good and bad, which mature in this lifetime, and that results in my good or bad destiny, which again decided by myself. Destiny is not given by somebody, not given by God, not given by parents, not given by society, decided by me, myself. So prarabdha is what I have done, which matures in this lifetime. And agami is whatever actions I do in this life, good or bad, determines my future. Agami means future, that is to come. So whatever I did in the past results in my present, and what I do in my present will mature in my future. So in this lifetime, it's like the bank. You know, in this lifetime I have a certain amount of dollars, and see, I spend them all. And then what will happen? My bank account will be depleted. I'll be sorrowful. But if I work hard and accumulate more money and collect, then my bank account will grow. So similarly, I have this bank account of karmas. Either I improve them by doing good actions, or I make them worse by doing bad actions. Also, they say that if you do a lot of good karmas, and if you remember the Lord and devote your mind to the Lord, the same prarabdha, the same bad karmas will come, but the effect will be blunted, will be lessened. So the Lord has the capacity to do that. Or maybe he will send somebody to help you in your difficult times. So the karmas you cannot avoid, but if you have done enough good karmas and if you have constantly remembered the Lord, the action of the karmas gets blunted. So they say that this body I have got is a result of my past karmas, whether it's a male or female, whether it's healthy or unhealthy, and even my surroundings, the kind of parents I have, the kind of, you know, eyes I get, the kind of hair I have, the kind of body, the kind of money, the kind of situations, what happens in my life, what circumstances I deal with, everything is decided by my karmas. So it is the past karmas which decide my present. So I only have two options. One is, when problems come, I bear them cheerfully without complaint. Lord, it is not you. I have caused it. It's like I poke a finger in my own eye accidentally. Will I cut off my finger? No. With that same finger, I will massage the eye because it is red and hurting. So when I have done the karma to myself, why should I blame anybody? I can't blame my spouse, my child, my husband, my wife, my boss, my neighbor, God, nobody. I only have myself to blame. And the only thing in my hand is two. One is to cheerfully bear what comes without complaint, and do not let my karmas get me down. I have to have the strength that yes, these problems have come, they will go, but I am above all these problems. And that can only come when you say, I am the Atma, the karmas are to the body. And the other thing in my hand is I can do good karma so that my agami is improved. My future is in my hand. If I do my best, if I help others, if I'm kind, compassionate, loving, not hateful, then my future will be good. So who says this? Where did you get this from? So they say there are three sources: Shruti, Yukti, and Anubhuti. Shruti means the scriptures. So what the rishis heard in their meditation, the Upanishads and the Gita and all those scriptures, that is the ones tell us. Yukti is logic. As we said, logically we can explain it, as I did today. And the third is Anubhuti or experience. So because of the scriptures, because of logic, and because of my own experience, this law of karma is validated. And we had talked a lot about reincarnation, I think 2-3 weeks ago. So you can listen online if you would like. So this is the essence of this beautiful verse, that the body is an old cloth, that is time, when it's time to give up, I should give up without complaint. Any questions, any comments, any disagreement? Yes. Yes.
That decides what body we need.
Right, right. That's very good. That's very true.
So it is very important to think about God, about Krishna at the time of death, so that you don't get any body and you can go straight to Krishna.
Right, right. Yeah, like this Jad Bharat, he got the body of a deer.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's true. So if you are all life thinking about women or men or money, or then suddenly at the time of death you won't. Plus you don't know what time you're going to die. Do you know your last breath? You might be, you think it's your last breath, but you might survive 5 years in a coma in a hospital. You know, there are people who live 5 years, 10 years in a coma. So they don't know when is going to be their last breath. So that's why in the Mukund Mala, the king, he says, Bhagwan, at the time of death, he says, my breath will be choked. I'll have sputum. I'll have blood. I'll have, I won't be able to breathe. And that time I won't be able to remember you. How am I going to remember? My mouth is choking and I can't breathe. And there's saliva and I can't even talk. That time I'm there thinking about breath. So Lord, let me remember you throughout my life. Because I don't know at the time of death whether I will be able to or not. As long as I remember you throughout my life, you will take me safely. So I think your points about the kitten and the mouse is very good. About the trees, some people say trees are a lower yoni. Other people also say that trees is the beginning. That we all started as trees and then from trees you evolved to protozoa and all. So it is your way of looking at it. But for me, that particular General Sherman, I had so much respect. We literally got down on our feet and both of us on our knees and we bowed. I said we need to bow down to this. Because the trees do so much for us. Even if you hit a stone, it gives you a fruit. So if you look at it, tree is that, and it takes nothing, from the ground. All it takes, like we have some 3-4 trees in our backyard. We have orange, and then we have lemon, and then we have figs, the sweetest figs and the beautiful oranges. We do nothing. And for last 15, 20 years, faithfully every year, it gives us hundreds of fruit, so much that we can't finish it. We don't put fertilizer. We don't do anything to it. It takes fertilizer from the ground. The sprinkler water falls on the three trees. And so what else would you call them except yogis? They're doing so much service for us without me doing anything. So that's what it means, is that every being here is here to serve man. But it is only man who selfishly takes and does not give back. So that's why they say it is our duty. Nature gives us so much. It is our duty to give back, because the Lord has given us this beautiful intellect to think, this mind to feel beautiful emotions, this body to do so much good work. So let us use God-given talent. That's what Swami Chinmayananda says. What you have in life is His gift to you. What you do with what you have is your gift to Him. So if I want to say, somebody says, gives you a gift on a birthday, gives you a shirt or a or a, you know, even a small little piece of jewelry, even, you know, artificial, you say, oh, thank you so much, I love it. But the Lord who has given us everything, this body, mind, intellect, this earth, this everything I have, my ability to earn, we don't even for a moment feel grateful towards Him. So every morning and every evening, one should be grateful to the Lord for what. At least say thank you, if nothing else. Don't, if you don't want to do His work, at least say thank you, Bhagwan, for what you have given me. You know, start with that and just devote your life as much as possible in service. So, but thank you. These are very good points. Yeah. And then the trees, of course, Krishna, Vishnu came himself as Krishna and freed those two trees. Because they said, when will we be free? So Vishnu said, I will come and, you know, free you, yes. So that's a very nice story. But yeah, the trees are considered to be the earliest because they have no intellect and they have very little emotions. The trees also have emotions. They say like two plants, one is loved and blessed, another one is they play rock music. So the one that is treated nicely grows better. That's what they say. They have done experiments. So the plants also have feelings. So the idea is that one should respect all beings. But thank you. Good points. Anything else? Yes.
The theory of karma is so mind-boggling that we keep on coming. Unless
right.
we know this knowledge and self-realize, then only we can cut sanchita agami.
Yes.
Prarabdh we have to go.
Right.
And once we...
It's
just like a
Gurudev. Right.
So yeah. They don't have any
more
Sanchita Agami Karma. Only Prarabdha they have to go through.
Yes.
So we all go through, otherwise the cycle of rebirth.
Yeah, very good point she makes. That a person who realizes, who becomes somebody like Gurudev or Shankaracharya or Jesus or Buddha, who becomes one with that reality, for that individual, there is no Sanchit and no Agami. His past karmas are burnt and he has no future karmas. His prarabdha, whatever are in this lifetime, he or she has to undergo. Whatever the destiny is for that individual in this lifetime, they say it's like an arrow that has been released, cannot be called back. So prarabdha is the arrow which in my past karmas has been released in this lifetime and I have to undergo those. But for a realized master, there is no Sanchit and no Agami. And will never that individual will never be born again. But you and I, because we have so many unfulfilled karmas and we have so many vasanas and we have not realized the truth, we have to go through repeated birth and death. But for a wise person, there is no karmas, nothing accumulated. And even his or her prarabdha gets blunted because he says, I'm not this body anyway. The Father in heaven and I are one. Jesus said that. She said, I'm not this body. I'm the Father in heaven. So you can do whatever to my body. It doesn't affect me. So the wise person, even the prarabdha does not affect that individual as much as it affects you and me. But yes, they have to undergo that. But the Sanchit and the Agami are gone. And they say, you know, who gets the Sanchit and the Agami?
Yeah.
There's another theory. It says, if you serve a Mahatma, if you serve a wise person like a saint or a, you know, then his good karmas you get, because he has no use for them. He has already gone beyond the karma. So his good karmas you will get, whichever he has not yet enjoyed, you get them. But if you hurt a Mahatma or talk ill about him or like people who tortured these saints and all, if there are any bad karmas in his previous lifetime, not in this life, in previous lifetime, any bad karmas are left unfulfilled, you get them. So that's why they say you should never hurt or torture a saint or a wise person because it is the worst thing you can do. Somebody who is doing God's work and if you talk evil about him or hurt him or criticize him, it is a very, very big sin. That's why Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. Because he knew that. That these people who are torturing me are going to be punished so heavily, not by God, but just by their own karmas. So that's why, his good and bad karmas don't go with him or her, the wise person.
Last time when we
I don't. Yes, I don't. I'm sorry. I said that. I don't want to drag it on.
When a man went shooting in the church.
Right.
And so many was killed.
Yeah.
So now I was like thinking. Now they
No, but they just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, it's a, because again, the time had come. That child, time to leave had come. For that individual, it was only 2 years or whatever he or she was.
But they are most probably, they have gone to Krishna because they were thinking about the God at the time of death.
Yes, probably. Yes, 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 definitely. So, but even then, once the shooting started, then how many of their mind was on Jesus? And then they were thinking about escaping or hiding or, you know what I'm saying? So it is not easy. Yes, they were in church praying, but then when the shooting started, they all were running, hiding under the desk or trying to attack the shoe. You know, so it's very difficult. But you're right, they were in a holy place. So definitely the chances of going higher are better. But death is strictly decided by your karmas. When your time has come, the excuse could be different. Could be a shooting, could be a plane crash, could be a sickness, could be a cancer, could be, you know, a car accident. But the time when it comes, the individual leaves. So it's not, that's why people say, oh, God is so heartless. Or then they will say, you know, God needs all the good people with him. So he takes all the good people and leaves the evil. You know, all kind of stupid things people say about God. God is sitting there and saying, well, I don't do anything. I just give you the life. I don't take anybody. It's not he who decides. But people have all funny arguments to justify, you know.
That I think we should be responsible for some of the mental disease that occurs around us.
Right.
I mean, we can't go beyond it. But this town was 500 people, and one person becoming like that in the same town, the town is partially responsible. Of course, the Air Force is responsible.
Air Force, because they didn't report. Yes, so... But the point was that it was destined for that individual to do that.
So I think there's a collective karma. Also.
Collective karma is there, yes. And the individuals, out of the how many people were there, in the 200-300 people, how many died in that, I don't know, 10 or 15 or 20. So those were, their time to go had come. The others had not. So they survived. And actually he was looking for his mother-in-law. And she didn't go to church that day. That's why he was going from aisle to aisle looking for her. He said, because he had a problem with his mother-in-law. He had written her a very nasty text message just before that. And she used to go to that church every week. And he didn't find her. So he killed anybody and everybody else he could. So, and she was destined to survive. Even though he was looking for her, she didn't go to church that day. So. Jako Rakhe Saiya, right. Her time had not come to go. She still had more karmas to go through. Like a person in coma, sometimes they survive 5 and 10 years. You know how much suffering they have. But their time has not come. He or she has not undergone the suffering for all the karmas. And so additional time is required for this person to stay there and be poked and be fed and get needles and blood and all those things. For years, you know, doctors, we know that people live in coma for so many years. So.
Genetics and the chemicals in the brain also play a role in how
yes.
the person behaves, actually.
Right.
The criminal brain is different from
right.
the same brain.
Right, right. Absolutely, genetics. But genetics we get from the parents, and parents we get based on our karmas. So you can't blame your parents. You chose your parents. See, people say parents give birth to the child. We say, no, the child chooses her parents or his parents. Based on my karmas, I get the particular parents. And the genetics is nothing but vasanas. It is my tendencies which cause me to act. Just as genetics, somebody is genetically modified like Red Indians. You know, the moment they are exposed to alcohol, the American Indians, they get addicted very fast. They are genetically prone to addiction. So maybe these were people in previous lifetime who wanted to drink and couldn't drink because of prohibition. So they said, I have to drink. I have, okay. So, okay. Bhagawan said, okay, you become American Indian and within 5 minutes you will be addicted. So God is not the architect of our life. I am the architect of my life. I make the blueprint. God is the general contractor. He says, you make the blueprint, I'll make the house. Just as an architect makes blueprint, contractor says, I don't do anything. I don't deviate from that. You made the blueprint, I make the house. And if the house turns out bad, you blame the architect, not the contractor. Because he said, I built it according to the specification. So you and I gave our specifications to Bhagawan. And he gave us the body and the family surroundings based on what I gave the specification. He said, I'm just a general contractor. I don't make the plans. You made the plans. This is your life. And then it is up to you, just as a contractor, if he has given you a house and you find the house is not good enough, you can modify it and make it better. So similarly, you and I, whatever body and surroundings we have got, we can modify it and make them better so that our future is good. So the future is in our hands. The past, you cannot, people keep on saying, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I could go and change the past. You can't. I wish I had undo it. You know, I said this thing to her. Now I can't take it back. You can't. You, at the most, you can apologize for it. You can promise not to repeat, but you cannot undo. So all that we have is the present. We don't have the past. And the future, yes. Future, we can improve by our actions. So future is in our hands. The present is in our hands. The past is not. That's why Eckhart Tolle says, no, the power of now. Now is the only time I can act. I cannot act in the past and I cannot act in the future.
And the human body is a gift. That in this body only we can remember God.
Yes.
God has given that gift only to human beings, not animals cannot remember God. And if we are not remembering God, then we are just like any other animal who are like their main activities to like
true.
Sleeping, mating and defending. So we are also doing the same thing.
Yes.
So if we remember God, then we are like raised a level higher than the animals.
Right.
And this is the only time that we have to
absolute
God and go back to Godhead.
So true, true, very true. Human life is a gift. It's not only remembering, but also knowing about him, studying through knowledge. Remembering is with love, knowing with knowledge, and then with the body serving. It should not only be left to, oh, I go in morning and evening to the temple and pray and all, but I don't do anything with that knowledge. No, I get the correct knowledge. If I love God, I want to know who is God. What does he do? And once I know who is God and once I love, then I have to serve. So this devotion is very good, but the devotion has to be translated into action. Because if the God who has created me has created everybody, so we are all one. The oneness has to be seen, that they are all my brothers and sisters. I'm sorry?
He's inside
and outside, both, right? Antar Bahish. Right, right. Antar Bahishchatat Sarvam Vyapta Narayana Tishthati. So the Upanishad says God is inside and outside and everywhere. Vyapta, all over. So that is the God. Yes, right. Not only remember but recognize. Absolutely. Be like him, try to imbibe the qualities. Yes. Yes.
What is it that makes your karmas mature or fructify?
Oh, we don't know. That is just as what makes one particular fruit mature more than the other. The same tree, one guava is ready, another one is green. So the law of karma, they say gahana karma no gati. What is the what do you call the speed of karma? You and I don't know. There is a karma phala data who has made this law, and he or she or that consciousness knows, but we don't know. The point is that I don't know which karma I have done. I don't know which will mature. I just bear it cheerfully. Yeah, that the law of karma is so complex. It's not only me, but what I have done to her and what I have done to him and what I have done to my neighbor and what I have somebody far away. So, and when, if I have hurt somebody, when I will get the results, we don't know. So it's very, very complex. You know, we try to make it simple here, but it is very complicated. And not only that, there are thousands of people I have come in contact with since my childhood and then since my friends and my people I didn't like and people I hurt and people I stole from and people I cheated. Yes. So we don't know. Yeah, it's called Gahana Karma No Gati. The path of karma is very confusing. It's very complex. Yes.
Why is that I have to see the death of all my 100 kids? So Krishna said that you, in your previous life when you were a hunter, you killed the baby birds and the parents were just looking at it. They couldn't do anything. So after that, you accumulated good karmas, that is his Sanchit, the Sanchit karmas. And in this life, your karmas was like so good and accumulated over the years that you got 100 kids. Nobody else could get 100 kids, but you got. But then it was time to repay.
Right.
So, you know, like, that was the Sanchit karmas that he went through.
Yes.
And then he was looking at all the other kids.
Right.
Killed in
right.
War.
I think the best thing is to let go through the problem that come up and try to prevent the dharmic karma.
That's
the only
thing. I want to get my Sanchit karma
also finished this time. I mean, Sanchit karma, self-realize. Just realize, yeah. Become one with God. That's
yes.
The only way.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah, last point, because then I have to go to the children.
You know, previously you guys were talking about like how if you just remember Krishna's name at the time of death, all your karmas will go away and you just reach to God. That's not fair. Like, the whole life you're just doing whatever you want and you just remember.
But it won't happen. See, if you have done whatever you want, then you will remember that. I have told so many times stories about people who were greedy and money and all. They talk about, maybe next week I'll tell that story again about it. But no, you won't. It's not going to happen. So the Lord knows. He's very, the karma is very clear.
What about Ravana?
Huh?
Rama before death. But it was a curse, he was born and fractured.
Who?
Ravan
was killed by the Lord himself. So yeah, he was, usko mukti mil gayi. He was liberated. Right. And he saw Rama at the last. And for years he was thinking about Rama. Rama is coming. And when he has landed in Sri Lanka and all. So he was thinking about God out of fear. But anyway, we'll end. This will never end. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhagbhave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah. Hari Om.